I'd like to draw your attention to Acts chapter 18, and I shall read from verse 24. I'd like to spend a little time this evening talking about a character called Apollos. Verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. This little series is really about the little parts of scripture. Apollos probably has a larger part in scripture than some of the other folk we've been considering. He features a number of times in Paul's letter to Corinthians, but here we come across him for the first time. We know that he's Jewish. Peculiarly, he has a rather pagan name. Apollo was a Greek god. But he's not from Jerusalem, where I think such a name might be considered unusual. He's from Alexandria. And Alexandria was a great Egyptian city, famed for its learning, its library, its university. And we can be fairly confident, I think, that Apollos, although Jewish, he has been very, very well educated. And he knows all different types of literature. He's probably a man not dissimilar to the Apostle Paul himself. Tarsus was a great seat of learning and philosophy. And Apollos comes from Alexandria. These men have a great deal in common. We're told that he's eloquent. That might refer to the special oratory or speaking skills he has been taught, or it might be he is naturally eloquent as a man. Furthermore, he's mighty in the scriptures. He knows the word of God. He knows the Bible. He can quote it. He reads it. He teaches it. And he's come to the city of Ephesus. We're told that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, there's always some debate or discussion about Apollos. Is he born again? Is he saved at the beginning of the passage? We know he is at the end. And, you know, people will, when they come to preach on it, they'll make their mind up and they'll decide there and then. I'm not so sure. We're told that he has been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit, and spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. He has a message to share. What he knows about the Lord is true and good and proper. And of course it is. He is a man who knows the scriptures. If he didn't know the scriptures, if he didn't have a love for them and a knowledge of them, then I don't think he could speak accurately anything to do with the Lord. People who have views or opinions about God, which they get from anywhere other than the Bible, I'm afraid those views cannot be trusted and must not be quoted. So far, so good. And yet Luke throws in another detail in verse 25. Though he knew only the baptism of John. John, of course, being John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Now, is it simply saying that he received John's baptism, but then didn't get a second baptism as a follower of Jesus Christ? Or does it mean that his theology went as far as John the Baptist? John, of course, preached the coming kingdom. He preached the coming Messiah. He preached repentance and turning back to the Lord. All of that is good and proper. He pointed at the Lord Jesus, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." I think it probably does mean water baptism. But, for example, the believer elsewhere is described as being baptized into Christ. You're in Christ. It might be that he simply knows as much as John the Baptist knew. He might know that a Messiah, was promised. He might even know that the Messiah came, but perhaps for reasons of geography, this highly intelligent man doesn't know Jesus personally. John MacArthur describes him as an Old Testament saint. Well, there's nothing wrong with being an Old Testament saint, if you're living in the Old Testament. But this is the New Testament time. What a great time to live. So I think his knowledge of the Lord, despite it being accurate, I think it is partial. I think it is incomplete. And yet he speaks boldly in the synagogue. And evidently there was a culture in the ancient synagogues, especially perhaps outside of Judea, whereby eloquent teachers could come and give their two penneth, give their view of what's going on, give their version of what a particular scripture meant. And Apollos is doing that. I would love to have heard his message. He's teaching the way of the Lord accurately. And yet he only knows the baptism of John. Well, providentially, there were two people in the synagogue that day who knew more than he. Aquila and Priscilla. They heard him. He's speaking boldly. And I think they admire him. Perhaps they can detect that wonderful skill, the learning, the education, the zeal and the fervency about this man. And yet there is something missing. They don't just draw him aside and say, "That was a wonderful sermon. You are going places." They know that he's lacking something. And to be sincere, to be knowledgeable, to be clever, to be religious, to be spiritually minded, all of those things are useless without Jesus Christ. And there would have been people in that synagogue, perhaps, who were not eloquent and were not well educated. They couldn't argue or reason from the scriptures, but they knew they had a saviour. They might not be able to express it very well. Such a one had more than Apollos. And Aquila and Priscilla, two true believers, take him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Was that a conversion? Well, we're not told that. And yet quite clearly, if he doesn't have an understanding of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then he is lacking and he is deficient in his understanding of the gospel. It might be that a few years ago before this, he went to Judea, perhaps to the temple, to a festival, and he heard about the prophet in the wilderness, and he went and he heard and he believed and he was baptized, and then he went back to Alexandria. In the meantime, the Lord Jesus came and taught and preached and healed and went to the cross and carried the sin of the world and came back from the dead, conquering death and promised to return. But Apollos knows none of it. Well, Aquila and Priscilla know, and they proceed to share with him what his great learning and knowledge of the scriptures have not already taught him. In verse 27, he wants to move on. He wants to go to Achaia. And the brethren wrote, the church writes to them, exhorting the disciples to receive him. In other words, they write him a letter of commendation. We believe that this man is a genuine believer and is somebody you should welcome into your church. And that they do. He greatly helped those, verse 27, who had believed through grace. Well, I think that might indicate that a conversion had happened somehow connected to that conversation with Aquila and Priscilla. I think he understood the law before. I think he understood prophecy before. I think he understood that there's going to be a coming Messiah before. He might have even understood that that coming Messiah was Jesus Christ. But now, he is one of those and helps those who believe through grace. The undeserved, unwarranted, unmerited kindness of God given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through John, not through Elijah, not through David, not through Moses, not even through Abraham. Though of Abraham and David he came, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we're told he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Before he spoke about John, now he speaks about Christ. So if we are looking for evidence of a conversion, which Luke does not spell out, we have it. He has changed the focus of his conversation. And not only is he just going to the synagogue to give a lovely, eloquent speech about how nice John was, but now he's actually refuting. He's standing up to people who are denying the gospel. We do come across Apollos later on. I'm not going to spend much time on this. But we do know that Apollos was involved at the church in Corinth. That's where he went. And I think the people in Corinth really, really liked him. Unfortunately, I think they liked him a bit too much. Because I suspect that Apollos, I wouldn't call him an apostle, but I think he was a more polished speaker than Paul. So that when Paul goes to Corinth, he comes across people say, well, I'm of the Apollos party. Paul's quite good, but Apollos, well, I'm one of his men. That's not Apollos' fault, of course. I suspect that lovely, wonderful eloquence which God had given him, perhaps others made into something which was divisive. Furthermore, at the end of 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12, we read, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling. Now, if the Apostle Paul told me to do something, I would like to think I would just do it. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit through him does urge me to do a great deal every time I read his letters. And yet he wasn't willing. He says to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. I think Paul, despite the fact that Apollos is highly educated and powerful, even though he has followers at Corinth who have maybe caused Paul a little bit of grief, Paul holds him in such high regard that if Apollos doesn't feel that it's appropriate at that time to go, well, Apollos will go when he's ready. And Paul is willing to accept that. I think he trusts his judgment. So what do we have of Apollos? We have a man whose theology was incomplete, but in Jesus Christ he found it. He's a man who was deeply religious, but I'm not sure he truly understood the way of salvation. And we know there are lots of religious people out there today. And they'd say they believe the Bible, and they'd say they've been baptized. They might even call Jesus the Messiah, but they have an incomplete understanding of true salvation, of grace. And I wonder if they, like Apollos, need a Priscilla and Aquila just to take them aside and say, that was lovely what you just said, but you know what, there's more to it. Furthermore, having received that full and beautiful gospel message, he wants to go out to share it. And although there are problems in his ministry, because if some of the Apollos people didn't like Paul, I'm guessing some of the Paul people didn't like Apollos. Evidently, his judgment and his lifestyle and his attitude were such that if Paul urged him to go and Apollos said, no, not yet, it's not right, he was willing to accept that. He's clearly a man whose judgment the Apostle Paul held in high regard. There was an awful lot there, but I trust in the little bit of information we have about Apollos, there is something there which will encourage us in our own walk. Amen.